Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. And it is Friday, August the 9th. 1 month from the next debate. But it appears that we don't have to wait a month to hear Donald going absolutely berserk, which he has. And it's even more than that, because he's normally, you know, psychopathic, and we understand that. And we know that he's a damaged man. People say that, and that's true. I mean, these are all psychological evaluations done by people at afar, although his niece, she's had a chance to actually take his pulse, I guess. But the thing is, Donald's gone nuts. I mean, he was already nuts. And I think I know the reason, which really you probably wouldn't find hard to believe. He probably read that brand new Marquette poll, Marquette University. It's a good poll. It's an organization that is considered to be responsible, and their polls are believed. People think that when Marquette University takes a poll, that they're playing it straight. And what did they find? What a surprise. Kamala Harris is up by 8 points. 8 points. And believe me, if you're watching Fox, you haven't heard that. Or, you know, if you're just hunkering down somewhere trying to avoid hearing the bad news, okay, you won't know this. But I guarantee you, Donald knows. And because he knows, he doesn't know what to do. He is completely hysterical. So how do I know he's hysterical? This is so easy. I'm assuming that you've probably heard the helicopter story by now. Just for the heck of it. Joe? Yeah? Have you heard the helicopter?
I can't say that I have.
Wow. Okay. So maybe you haven't heard it. I don't know. But here's the helicopter story. I watched him tell it. I had no reason to believe that it wasn't true, except for the fact that it's Donald Trump. And nothing he says is ever true. So here's the story that he told. I'm surprised everybody hasn't heard it, but okay. It was right out here. It was part of that idiotic press conference he did. So he was on a helicopter with Willie Brown. Willie Brown is a politician in California. And he did have a relationship with Kamala Harris. Now, people get bent out of shape about it. And they say that she was sleeping her way up to some kind of successful position. But that's not it. Come on. That's not how it works. You don't get to be Attorney General of California because you slept with somebody. Anyway, Kamala had a relationship with Willie Brown. So Donald says that he was on a helicopter with Willie Brown. And he claims that the helicopter was crashing and that only in the last minute was it saved, and they had a very dangerous emergency landing at the end, but they survived. And then he says, Donald says, that while they were on this helicopter, that Willie Brown told Donald things about Kamala that Donald knows now because he got this directly from Willie Brown. They had gone out because they were surveying a part of California where they had a forest fire. Well, look, here's the funny part of this. None of it's true. Unbelievable. Who would make this up? So here's what actually happened. Donald was on a helicopter. He was. With Jerry Brown, the governor of California. And they were out surveying the forest fires, which, as you may remember, at the end, Donald came up with the brilliant idea that all they had to do was rake the leaves and they wouldn't have any more forest fires. But forget that. All this business about Willie Brown and the stories about Kamala Harris. And by the way, Gavin Newsom was also on this helicopter that day. This is totally bizarre. Newsom said there was no problem, not a threatened crash, not even some, you know, the air wasn't unsettled. They just rode in the helicopter. Nothing. No Willie Brown. And no stories about Kamala Harris. So this is all fabricated by Donald. I think you would want to ask, why is he doing this? Why make up stories like this? And certainly, if you're going to make up stories about helicopter rides with people that weren't there. I mean, wouldn't you want to do something to cover yourself so when you tell the story, you don't look like a complete moron when the people come forward and say, hey, this never happened? Well, doesn't bother Donald. Obviously, he's some kind of a psychopath. He's got serious trouble. But that's the reason, I think, that he's telling all these stories, that he's looking at these polls and realizes that Kamala is running away with this election. Look, you know that this enthusiasm is not made up. People are excited about her. You could say you don't know why. That would be okay. You could say you don't like her. But to start making up crazy helicopter stories, all you're asking for is to be made to look like a greater fool than you already are. I just don't understand it. Maybe he's freaked out because he's lost $7 billion, at least, on that idiotic company or whatever you want to call it that he's got. And he's only got about $3 billion left. Today was a good day. He only lost $20,000. It was only slightly down. Listen to what else Donald's saying. I mean, this is not normal. He says, we're on the verge of World War III. He says, it's going to start soon, and it's going to be worse than you can imagine. Well, first of all, how could World War III be worse than you would imagine? I mean, if World War III starts, I can't think of anything that would be worse because it would blow up the planet. But at any rate, he says World War III is about to start. And he's excited about it, too. You should hear how he says it. I mean, it's like, wow, look what I've got. World War III, and I can blame it on them. And everybody would be dead. And then the next thing is, he says that the economy and the stock market are in a complete free fall, and a crash will ensue worse than anything anybody's ever seen. Well, that is possible. First of all, it's always possible, but it's especially possible now. There are some numbers out here that I've talked about, and they're not good. And so what does that have to do with anything? What he should be doing is saying, look, if these things happen, this is what we have to do. Here's what the policy should be in order to address a collapsing stock market or an economy that was just coming apart at the seams. So what does he have to say about it? Here's what he says. That the Federal Reserve is no good. They don't know what they're doing. And he says, frankly, he says he knows far more than the Federal Reserve. And the reason, I mean, it's a better reason than the way he knows about nuclear weapons, because his uncle or his cousin or somebody was a scientist and he got it by osmosis. So he didn't, at least didn't say that one. But he is saying that he has made so much money in his life, a complete lie, as we know, and that he's so successful as a business person that he knows far more than all of these economists at the Federal Reserve. And so what he wants to do is he wants to change the way we run the Federal Reserve. He wants the Federal Reserve to be under the control of the president instead of being independent as it currently is. Well, I mean, I can tell you, in the history of the United States, we've had these enormous debates about a national bank and what we should allow, what we shouldn't, and why. And, of course, you know, Hamilton and Jefferson, all these people weighed in on it because it's sort of a big deal. And then we came up with this, the Federal Reserve, in 1913. It was used to some benefit in 1932. Could have been better. And then, of course, Ben Bernanke did many things better when it came into the 2000s, and we needed help, lots of it. So, Donald says he's better than everybody. You know, it's the old story. I alone can fix it. And in fact, a lot of people are saying this, that what's happening in the campaign is that Donald sees that everything is unraveling, and he's going to lose big. And by the way, he says that he has special polls that show that he's winning by a landslide. Sure, just like the special votes that he had in that last election. It's all nonsense. However, Donald says he's going to win by a landslide. And he just has nothing to worry about. And if that's true, my only question is, why is he so worried? Because this guy is scared. This guy is flipped out. The things that he is saying are ridiculous. Even to the extent that his VP genius has been calling Tim Walz a communist. And the thing about it is, this is a very old trick. which, by the way, if you look at the date, first week of August, this is when, 50 years ago, Richard Nixon had to quit. He quit because he had always done bad things, and he got caught finally. But one of the things he was most famous for is when he ran against a woman, and her name was Helen Geoghegan Douglas. And they were running in California for Congress. And Douglas, very, very smart lady. And she was supported by Eleanor Roosevelt. Sounds like a communist to me. Of course, there are people out there that feel that way. They think that's true. They don't think that's funny. They think that Eleanor was a communist, as well as Franklin. In any event, Nixon went berserk on Helen Geoghegan Douglas, and he called her everything you can imagine, including a communist. And back then, early 1950s, when Joe McCarthy was still going, well, you could get away with that. It worked. No, I got you. Thank you very much, Joe. And we'll be over there in a little bit, very soon. So, yeah, this is the playbook. This is the Richard Nixon playbook. Call people communists. But I don't think in 2024 it's working. Maybe it is. Not on Earth 1, maybe on Earth 2. But I'll tell you this. I see that nice smile in the background there. So I'm not going to make you wait anymore. I know Jim is coming, and that's good too. So let's just get you on here, Amy. And that's okay. Hi, Amy Carter. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I am great. I know you wanted to come into the studio, but something happened, so.
I had surgery a week ago today, so a little slow. Excuse me. Let me close my door.
Okay. Well, that's all right. We don't want that. We don't want that communist dog to.
I've got three communist dogs.
Yeah, to cause any problems. And there, we got Jim in here too. That's very good. A little early. That's fine. I'm perfectly good with all of that. Anyway, you all know. And by the way, I got a scratchy voice today. I'm sorry. So you know, but that's okay. We'll get through it. You know, I talked about, you know, some of the things that Donald's up to right now. Let me ask you this, because I really am trying to learn, and maybe some other people can learn too. So one of the things that he did yesterday, which to me is just unbelievable, he made up a story. You all know the helicopter story?
I just heard about it today. I don't know a lot about it. I apologize.
So you know about it, Jim?
I do.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what then. Well, no, let me introduce it my way, and then you guys can have at it. So Donald got in a helicopter. He was surveilling the area in California where they had a forest fire. And while he was up there, he had a conversation with Willie Brown, who had an affair with Kamala Harris. And while they were up there, Willie Brown told Donald a lot of things about Kamala that are just really bad that we should all know about. Now, he remembers this vividly, he said, because the helicopter, when it was going to land, it was very erratic, and it almost crashed. And so it was an emergency landing. But they all survived, and everything worked out fine. There's only one problem. What's the problem, Jim? Do you know?
If I may, I believe what you're asking is it legit? I guess they're suggesting that Willie is saying that he was never had that conversation.
No, it's worse than that.
I'm not very sure. I don't know the story. I really shouldn't speak too much.
No, it's okay. No, I'm going to tell you the story, and then you'll be able to speak perfectly. Willie Brown wasn't in the helicopter. Jerry Brown, the governor of California, was in the helicopter with Gavin Newsom and Donald, and they were surveilling the fire. Willie Brown was nowhere to be found. He wasn't in there. So, he made it up. What do you think?
Well, I would certainly hope that's not the case. If it is, then obviously, yeah, he should be held accountable for that. But I really don't know much about it, so I can't speak to it too in depth. But, you know, I would think, in all honesty, if it wasn't Willie and it was this other person, maybe they did have some conversations about Kamala. Did this other gentleman, I mean, I'm sure he's very... a well-known gentleman, so he probably held a lot of conversations with Kamala in the past. So maybe they did have a conversation. He just got the names wrong, which, again, isn't the most professional thing in the world, but it could happen. I mean, he's a very busy man. He's got a lot going on. He just got shot, you know. So these things can happen, but I don't know a lot about it. So, again, I would have to do a little more research. But, I mean, if that is the case, then, you know, we do need to be held accountable.
Yeah. Governor Brown and Gavin Newsom both say that the helicopter ride was no problem. Nothing happened. It didn't almost crash. And nobody knew anything about Willie Brown. And anyway, they all support Kamala, so they weren't telling anything. Anyway, what do you think, Jim?
He said, she said. I don't hold a lot of stock in any of that anyway. I mean, everybody does a little bit of that.
Go ahead, Jim.
You're talking about a helicopter full of Democrats.
Yeah.
I don't believe a word they say. I mean, I believe it happened the way Trump said it happened. That's exactly what I believe.
Now, what if you find out, because they've got to have logs on as to who was in that helicopter, what if you find out that Donald wasn't with Willie Brown at all? Then what?
We could play what ifs all the time, but
well, I think you're going to find it out.
That out.
Yeah, I mean, in time, and when that information does come out, maybe we can speak more on it. But as of right now, I don't think anybody has enough information to really...
Yeah.
I mean, you know that there's going to be nothing but lies spread from here on out for the next 3 months.
Unfortunately,
they're going to do anything they can to knock Trump down. I mean, we know that. We know the Democrats lie. I mean, it's a common trait for a Democrat. But sorry, Mark, but I mean,
can I start off by giving you a little bit of history of my
Amy, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so I used to be a Democrat. I'm from the St. Louis area, but on the Illinois side. So I'm from Illinois. I currently live in Indiana. I also lived in Florida for some time. So I've kind of experienced both sides of the fence when it comes to the politics of different states and how they play out. But what I can tell you is that I grew up in a very strict Democratic family. My grandfather was a huge financial backer in Illinois for some important Democrats. And then my husband was a union pipe fitter in the area. So, you know, we obviously voted Democrat for a long time.
Sure.
I voted for Obama on the first time. The second time I did not. And I think that's about when I started to change my beliefs, my opinions on government. I was also getting a little bit older and paying a little more attention. I think when we're younger, we do what we're told, what, you know, our parents do or what our family tells us to do or what our employers tell us to do. But as we get older, we pay a little more attention. We learn a little more. We become our own selves and we start to vote and pay attention to things that we can believe in, that we experience. And so I did change. I became a Republican a little before Trump came in. I am obviously one of those people that believed at the time that I just did not want another politician in office because I didn't trust any of them anymore.
What did you think they were doing wrong?
I just don't trust the government anymore. And I am a huge American patriot. I love America. Firefighter, EMT. I had two children in the military. Like I have a huge love for this country. And I want nothing but the best. We live in the best country in the world. And everything we do in this country affects the world. I think we can, you know, a lot of other countries also, you know, they rely on what happens here with our government. And so it concerns me that I just see a lot of really bad things happening in the world these days. And I feel like the Democrats of today are very different from the Democrats 30 years ago. I've seen a huge switch, a huge sway in everything, and I just don't feel comfortable with it anymore. And I don't trust our government. I have no trust whatsoever in our government. And we the people, all of us, we need to stop being so divisive. We need to come together and we need to remind them who runs this country, because we're not running it. We have no say. Not you, not me, no one.
Yeah.
And I think it goes to show, you know, with the last election, whether you believe it was rigged or not, there was some really tricky business going on there. And,
How do you know that?
I don't. I feel it. And okay. I'm not a huge conspiracy theorist. I'm not. Okay. But I do have my opinions on it.
Sure.
I really do think there is some tricky business. And listen, I'm not one to say it doesn't go on both sides, but I don't know. I just have a little more comfort on the Republican side these days.
Yeah. And by the way, just to give you a little background on me, I was 50 years ago, about 50, 60 years ago, 55 years ago, okay, being accurate, I was a radical leftist hippie with hair longer than yours, nice beard. Still got a nice beard, but no more hair. And I was I was anti-war, against the Vietnam War, worked on civil rights things, and I was part of the draft resistance, helped people to resist the draft and either leave the country or whatever they had to do to stay out of the war. So that's what I was doing when I was young. Now,
so then you wouldn't ever use it against someone who wasn't in the military as someone who wants to become a president. You wouldn't say, oh, they dodged the draft, therefore they could never be, you know, a candidate. Or would that still be something you would hold against them?
Oh, no. But the only difference.
That's not an issue.
That's not an issue for me. But of course, there is one issue for me, which is you heard what I just told you. I was a draft resistor. I was anti-war. I was a hippie with long hair. I mean, I was involved and engaged in that radical left politics of 1968 to 72 when I went to UCLA. But let me also say, all these years later, I have grown up. Right, Jim? No, all these years later, I'm probably just a little more radical than I was then.
More radical.
More radical left.
More different radical.
More radical left.
More maybe different.
No, not different. More? Really. Nah. I'm just teasing you. No, I'm extreme left, and I was extreme left then. So what really I'm wondering about, Amy, and I kid, but what I'm really wondering about is, how do you feel that the Democrats are different today than they were then? Because I don't exactly see it. And I think that most of these Democrats then and now see themselves in the tradition of Franklin Roosevelt. What do you think?
Well, I would have to say that as a former Democrat, I felt like back then, and we won't have to talk about how old I am, but I was born in 74, so I may not have been able to experience some of the things you experienced. But even in the 90s, when I was coming up and getting involved in things and running some of the campaign trail with some other Democrats, for me personally, I felt like the Democratic Party was a little more understanding. And like you said, a little more free-willed and not violent, not just, but now I don't feel that way. And that's kind of what changed me, is that I saw a sway in the way that, in violence, in just, you're the anti-war, but yet look at all these riots. Look at all of the, you know, just the disdain.
Well, and Amy, look, back in 90s, when, you know, 80s and 90s, when we were growing up, most of the time you didn't even know who Democrats were or who was a Republican, because it wasn't a big deal.
Really?
Everybody got along.
Are you sure?
I felt that way personally, and in my experience.
I mean, I was 30 years old then, and I can tell you that there were some pretty strong differences in feelings against each other. There were.
But nothing like today. I mean, you got
probably not. The internet has opened up.
You got Democrats telling people to burn down cities. I mean, what happened a few years ago was absolutely insane.
Okay, but they burned down Watts in 1965. Believe me.
Okay.
It was burned all the way to the ground.
How many cities did they burn down recently in the last couple of years? What was it?
Well, look at Minneapolis, who, you know, we are the Democratic VP now.
Walls. I want to ask you a question, Mark.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, of course.
Your candidate now for president, Kamala Harris, was part of, the biggest part of, the big lie about Joe Biden's health that's all came out.
Tell everybody that
he was okay to run for president, and they were all lying to the American people, and it's all coming out now. I think a lot of us knew it back then, but, you know, they're coming out now that they were lying about his health. And then when he had to step aside, it right there just said, just a month earlier, weeks earlier, they were saying, oh, no, he's totally fine.
We're the conspiracy theorists. We're the one making up that he's got this mental decline. That? And he didn't step aside. Let's be clear. I mean, even Obama went after him and said, you need to move on out, buddy. And he fought it until he couldn't fight it anymore. And where the heck is he now? He's still, if he is still our president, where is he?
Well, he's been actually out talking with Kamala and with others. He's been speaking.
We haven't even seen her either.
No. They're both out there a lot. But let me say this. Joe had problems that were obvious, and the problems were he's old. I mean, who didn't know that Joe Biden was old, right?
But do you think it was okay for them to lie about his health?
Well, wait a second. I'm not sure they lied about anything. You saw it, and I saw it. The man had a problem. But listen to this.
But they were saying he didn't.
Listen, yeah. Okay, while he was having his problem, he negotiated a deal with Vladimir Putin to bring all those people back from Russia.
Did
he? He said that last week. Mark,
did he?
I've done more research on that.
Do we believe that he's actually been running things?
Get his order right at McDonald's. Do you think he really negotiated that deal?
I'm not so sure that I think he's the one that's actually been running things. In my opinion, Kamala and the team has been running things.
I don't think Kamala has. I think there were other people behind the scenes. But.
Well, yeah, I think there are, too. There's a lot of people behind the scenes. I think, you know, we have to be honest that, you know, and then she waited until after. So my thing is with this whole situation is, they tried, the Democrats, when I say they, I mean the Democrats, I apologize for being vague, but they said we were crazy. There was nothing wrong with him. He's perfectly fine. And then after he did his debate, oh, okay, maybe there's something wrong with him.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys, and they wouldn't say it this way, maybe you guys were right. But here's the thing. If he can't do the job, he needs to step down, which means Kamala is the president right now.
I don't think that's what they're saying. I think what they're saying, and in fact, I'm going to tell you what they're saying. They're saying that it's apparent, as old as he is, that he cannot tell the story of what it is that he's trying to accomplish. It's gotten beyond him. We've heard him. He's struggling up there.
Yeah.
he can't do it. And if he can't do it,
which means he should not be president right now.
Well, wait a second.
He shouldn't be making any decisions.
All these people, all these heads of countries in Europe that meet with him say he's fine in their meetings. The head of Germany, the head of England, the head of France. They all say he's fine. They've met with him. They met with him last week.
Oh, you mean France? The country which I've been to, France. I love France.
I was there too. It's very nice.
Yeah. You're talking about the ones that are hosting the Olympics right now that just had that huge debacle. I can't imagine they would want to.
I mean, you could have debacles. I mean, everybody can have a debacle. I mean, look, I'm just saying that maybe there's a slightly different way of looking at all of this that still says that Joe Biden shouldn't be president. I think it's a good thing that Joe is out and Kamala's in. And listen to this. And part of it is because he's old. But here's the thing. Kamala has lit this country on fire with enthusiasm. I understand, not you guys. But you understand, if people are excited by her, that's how democracy works.
Explain to me why she was the least, back when she was running, she had the lowest numbers.
Not anymore.
That's because of how this was handled. If it was handled properly and the American people were given the right to choose who's being chosen as the next president candidate for the Democrats, I don't think they would have chosen her.
Well, let me ask you this. You don't think anybody's manipulating me, do you, Jim?
No. I think you're just crazy.
Right. Absolutely. Listen, that's an important point. I've been crazy since I was a kid, and I'm crazy now. Okay? I've got very specific political ideas, and nobody could manipulate me. So when I tell you, and by the way, I love the country too. I'm not an agent of another country. So all I'm saying is I want the best for the United States and you want the best. And so all I'm thinking is that if people that were watching don't behave in ways that are acceptable, then maybe we should have some concern. But I want you to think about that for a second, because I got some ads I got to do here. After we do a little business, we'll be right back. All right?
Okay.
Terrific. So the first thing I want to do is encourage people to go to Wendy's for dinner. And believe me, I don't care if you're a radical leftist or way on the right. It doesn't matter. Wendy's is a great place to eat. They've got wings. They've got hamburgers and cheeseburgers and patty melts. Everybody loves their wings, by the way. They're really unique. They're great. They've got smoked meats, really good smoked meats. They've got pizza, salads, the best drinks. Everybody loves them. Now, for me, I love the iced tea. But, hey, there are other drinks, too. You can choose. Wendy's is a great place to eat in Chesterfield Valley. And now, for me, Amy.
Yes.
I've already told this to Jim last week, but I love the baby back ribs. The baby back ribs and onion rings. Love it. So this is a great place to eat. And after you've eaten all this great stuff, because you don't want people to think that you're ridiculous. See, instead of eating more, you just leave, get in your car, and you drive out to Defiance, Missouri. And they got another Wendy's out there, and you can go do the whole thing all over again. And they'll think that you're just a hungry guy or woman. Yeah. Okay, so that's Wendy's. Ben and his wife have done a great job, built a great restaurant, and we want you to try Wendy's. Now, if you're interested in jewelry, my very, very close friends, Al and his son AJ, are at 4506 Hampton, and that is Jewels on Hampton. And they've got cases and cases and cases of jewelry in that store. You can go through there and look at their jewelry. You can bring jewelry to sell to them, and you can sell and buy and make deals. Believe me, Al's a great guy, and he really wants to take care of his customers. You'll love him. He's also a great jewelry designer. He designs jewelry creatively, or he'll do things that you want. All in all, it's a great jewelry store, 4506 Hampton in St. Louis, and they even fix watches. But I have a feeling you can't fix my voice. But don't worry, I'm going to make it the next 20 minutes. We'll be fine. It's the old Bill Clinton trick. Okay. The third thing is the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. And you can see me in my suit here. And I can tell you that over the years, I've always believed that when you're going to go out and cause a lot of trouble, it's good to wear a suit and a tie. Because then you don't get in as much trouble for it. People aren't as upset. They think you're, you know, a really nice person. They don't realize that you're radical left. You know, they don't know that, you know. So, and by the way, I don't burn anything down. I never have, Amy. So, yeah, you don't have to worry about that. But the thing is that you can get beautiful suits and shirts and shoes and ties. I mean, I got a tie on right now. I can tell you this nice blue pattern, and it's silk. And this is a $5 tie. $5. Nobody can believe it. And it's at Forsyth and Central in Clayton. They've been there for 30 years. They've sold these ties for $5 for 30 years, and they still do. And then they even have overcoats in the summer, which people would say, who needs an overcoat in the summer? But you're going to need it in the winter. So go buy it at a low price, because they're going to raise the price when the snow comes. But at any rate, there it is. St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton, Forsyth and Central, 30 years. Okay. So, what do you guys think? Have I convinced you? You're all radical leftists now?
Not quite yet.
Well,
I have a few more things to discuss.
What do you think Donald's going to do for you? Give me that one. I'd love to hear that one.
Okay.
Exactly. What he did before. When I used to be able to afford to feed my kids and had $1.80 gas.
I mean, do you want to talk about inflation, immigration? Do you want to talk about the energy crisis?
Well, wait. You got a good one. Let's talk about immigration.
Okay.
So if I tell you that the people who come across those borders in the South are involved in less crime than anybody in the United States, that they are a very low crime group, and that we, white people like us that grew up here, born here, were the ones that are committing the crime. If I told you that and if I proved it to you, what would you think?
First thing I would say is fentanyl. The second thing I would say is look who's crossing the border. It's not women and children and elderly looking for amnesty, looking for a safer place. It's all middle-aged men from not only Mexico, but from across all the countries in the world.
Venezuela.
I mean, they are invading us. It's an infestation of middle-aged men who are at military age level. I would say that maybe we haven't seen the worst yet, but fentanyl, if you want to talk about that's what I would say. Those are the first two things I would say.
Okay. Is everybody that crossed the border a bad person? Absolutely not. But, I mean, we got, what, 20? Last week I said 1,000, and what I meant million. But we've had, what, 20 million people, I think, is the number?
I think last I checked, they claimed 11-point-something million, but right. I'm going to venture to say probably double that.
Yeah, said.
Because
well, what about
cutaways.
What about all the people that are DACA kids that grew up here and that work here and love this country?
Well, you know, I'm all for immigration. I think that's okay. What this country is about. I have nothing. I don't think anyone truly has anything against legal immigration.
Absolutely.
And I think that we can't pretend that these people being bussed in, planed in, you know, we know why they're being brought into this country. And you then you can talk about, you know, as far as there's a listen. If I go to the to vote, are they going to ask me for my ID?
Sure.
Are they going to ask an illegal immigrant if they have an ID?
Sure.
They're saying they're not. That's no,
they ask people for their IDs. Yeah,
but they're not with that right now. They're saying that if you are an illegal, or I'm sorry, if you are an immigrant in this country, regardless of your status, whether you're legal or not. If you don't have an identification, they're trying to pass it. They're trying to pass it. I pray they don't, that they can vote. We know why that is.
Well, let me ask you this.
We know that why that is.
If they passed a law saying that everybody had to have an ID, which I really think people do have to have IDs, but let's say
they don't.
Hang on.
No. Well, I've never voted without an ID, but at any rate, let me ask you this. Would you be okay if the United States government helped all the people that can't get an ID to get one?
No, because they did not come here legally.
No. What if it's an old lady?
She's not here legally. There's an old lady in France.
No, what if it's an old lady in the inner city who was born in the United States, has lived here for 75, 80 years, and she needs help because she doesn't have any car, she has to take the bus. She needs help to go vote and to get an ID. Would you help her?
Legal. She's legal.
Born here.
If she can prove she was born here, then yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I personally would take her to help her.
Well, you see? Okay. See, we agree on that.
But if she's here illegally and she
No. Forget that.
Excuse me. I will not.
Nobody wants illegal people to vote. And you know what the Secretary of State's all say? They don't.
I don't believe that. Why else is it being allowed? Why else has it in the last 3 years been allowed? That so millions and millions of illegal immigrants, I can't say the A word, are in this country.
Yeah.
And Biden wants them to vote.
Because he
doesn't, because he's not going to do it anymore.
None of these people want anybody to vote that's not legal. And I got people here on the chat, DRC and Greg, and they're having a ball over here telling me that sort of what you are. Okay, you know, they don't like my opinion on the IDs and you know that. Here's one that they're bringing up. We discussed this the other day. You know who Maduro is in Venezuela?
I do not. I apologize.
Okay. So he just ran for president of Venezuela, and he lost. But he claimed he won, and he took over the government. So if you don't know about it, you're going to have to read before we can talk about that one.
Yes,
but absolutely. But check that out. because Donald sort of idolizes the guy, and the reason apparently is because he was able to do what Donald couldn't do, which was to take over our government even after you lose the election.
When you say take over the government, I mean, I think most people that understand how the government works, a president doesn't have the all saying, you know, he has to go through the Senate. He has to go through certain, so nobody can do that. Not
you're
even
right. That's why he couldn't do it. You're right.
As opposed to a government.
You're right. That's why he couldn't do it.
But
he tried.
Well, but I don't think that he was trying to take over the government. I think he was trying to say that there was a lot of errors in our voting system.
Which there was.
Which I personally believe there was. I mean, Georgia just recently found.
We got 4 mail-in ballots sent to our house that we didn't request. And we always vote in person. Now, we tore them up and threw them away. I took pictures of them. And I actually posted them on Facebook 4 years ago. But we got 4 mail-in ballots sent to our house that we didn't request.
And you can't use them.
I could have used them.
No, that's what I'm saying. You could not have used them.
Okay, well, anyway, mail-in ballots, you're obviously not showing your ID, right?
Well, you are when you go in and request the ballot, yes.
You don't have to go in there. You can request a ballot online.
Well, I've never gotten one. Okay, I've never gotten one online. And that would be okay with me, too, by the way. But because they check.
I go down in person and vote.
They check.
And I go down in person. They ask my name. They pull out a thing because I'm registered. They hand it to me. I go back in and I do my thing. But not once ever have I had to use an ID, nor has any person I've ever spoken with but you.
I mean, I've voted since 1972, and I always use an ID. I mean, they ask for an ID, and I wouldn't argue with them. I mean, what am I going to say? No, I won't give you my ID. They ask me for it.
Well, that's what I'm going to do this year if they ask me for one, and I'm just going to say I'm not from this country, and then I'm going to vote 15 times if they let me.
Well, you know what they're going to do. They're going to call the police.
Well, right, as they should, right? As they should.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, our police really don't. They don't have a lot of them are told not to do anything when it comes to the illegal immigrants. Leave them alone.
I'm amazed that you believe that. I really am. But
I
know you do. But
to a certain extent, I do. But I am being a bit facetious. But at the same time, there's something to be said about that. Sure.
Yeah. We played a clip on here the other day where Ronald Reagan said that we need to open the doors to this country and let everybody in and just keep letting them in, and that they actually grow our country, make it creative, make it younger, more vibrant.
And we do, but there's a vetting. There's a system in place for our own safety, and it's a necessity, because if we don't know who's coming in our country, we don't know how to track them down when they do something bad. We don't know how to hold them accountable when somebody gets murdered. We don't have fingerprints. We don't have, there's a lot to be said.
Somehow I got kicked out here.
No, we're all here.
I see you, Jim.
Yeah, we're all here. No, I'm just saying, what if we just vet them when they come in, which we should? I've said, listen to this, Amy. Tell me if you like this. I've said, you know the Peace Corps, right? Okay. So what if we send 1 million high school graduates down to the border, and when the people come across, we attach these young kids to families that come in, and they help these families to figure out how to fill out documents, to get cards, to fit in here, to become American citizens, to get jobs. I mean,
in the perfect world, great. But I think there's a lot of room for error there. You can't just have high school kids doing it because, they
did all kinds of stuff in the Peace Corps. They did it in Africa. If they could do it in Africa, they could do it here.
Africa is a little different than the United States.
More dangerous, don't you think?
Sure. Yeah,
okay, well, so I'm saying send them down to the border. And you're going to pull. I'm not saying
or
don't.
Or just consider doing it the way they were supposed to. Just like the lady I was saying in France as an example who wants to come live in our country. She's got to go through how many years of being.
Well, don't make it years.
Red tape. Well, maybe it shouldn't be yours, but it definitely needs to be something because we need to know who's coming in this country.
Okay, I'm with you. You know, I want to know who they are. I agree with you. I want to know who they are.
Right, right. I mean, for our own safety, for the people that are already in this country, paying taxes, signing up for the military, doing the right things. And like I said, I mean, try going to Canada. If you want to be you want to move into Canada, look how long their system is.
Okay, but I'm just saying this. Let's open the border.
We're not saying no immigration.
No, no. I'm saying let's open up the border. Just open it up.
It's open.
No, it's not. Okay. But let's open the border and let's set up a vetting system. And let's be sure that we know all the people who come in here. I mean, we take a census.
Sometimes that takes years to figure out because
I don't know.
Lie about who they are.
We do a census on 320 million people, and we find where they are. Go ahead, Jim.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
I had to use my phone today because my laptop blew up. Right. So every time my phone rings, it kicks me out.
Okay.
I was reading some of your people talking on here. And one of the guys asked you a question that I thought was kind of interesting.
Go ahead.
What if some of these illegals wanted to set up in your front yard? Would you be okay with that?
Well, obviously not, for a very simple reason. Nobody would be okay with it, and nobody is. Nobody does that. That's not what we do. And there's nowhere in the United States where anybody's doing that. Wait. I don't mind if my taxes help to support people to get a place where they can live and where they can find a job and they can fit into our country because it's going to benefit all of us. Go ahead, Amy.
Pick me. Okay, I'm going to give you a little history on me. So I had a child very young.
Okay.
And I relied on the welfare system for a few years. I went to school. I did the things I was supposed to do to get off of the welfare system.
Gotcha.
I received $300 to pay for my rent, and I received a couple hundred dollars for groceries every month. Now, this was back in the 90s, so it's, you know, inflation's different. But that was the hardest thing for me to do as an American, was to get accepted into that program, to get help for me and my child. And I get it. I'm accountable for my actions. I needed the help to finish school. I didn't want to be, you know, one of the dropouts that never did anything with my life. And, you know, I didn't want to be one of those people. So I did.
And we want to help people like that. But go ahead.
But it was very little, and it was designed not to let me get off of it. So
okay, it should be more.
I agree. But if you look at what's being given to the illegal immigrants at this point, some of it's more than what our veterans are getting. Some of it's more than our own country people are getting. And I just think that that's such a slap in the face. And
well, the problem, by the way, with that one is, Amy, I'm going to tell you that we don't give them anything. But I know, you know, there are people who believe that we do. But I'm just saying this. I know from people that I respect and that tell me what I need to know, not on the news, but you know, people who they don't do that. That doesn't happen.
Well, I live here in Chicago. Yeah.
Sure.
And I see what's happening, and I see how.
And sorry, but I know that they're almost out of time. But
yeah.
You've seen what happened in Chicago recently when they gave out $80 million to all these illegals and did not help any of the inner city people. And that's the reason why they started that group of African Americans for Trump.
It's turning. I am seeing it with my own eyes. These people are being pushed out of their own communities because the buildup of the immigration, the destruction of the communities alone. And you look at inflation because of it. I mean, we are spending so much money on these illegal immigrants. And, you know, you can argue all day long about, well, who's going to pick the strawberries and who's going to be the hotel employees. That's not where we're going with this. We're talking about people that aren't working. And if you go around Chicago, anywhere in Chicago, because I live near Chicago, you will see exactly where our money's going. It's infested with drugs and illegal activity. And I can't even walk around anymore.
It's so scary. Well, you two, this is to be continued.
Yes,
please. And first of all, this is brought to you by St. Louis Suit Company and Wendy's and Jules on Hampton. And I'm Mark Kaysen, and this is Showdown. Good night.